okay, maybe it was a career trip. Are you a home fellowship?
Yeah, you were on the way. That's right. It was in Wisconsin Rapids, that quick trip. You were headed out somewhere.
Right.
Can I have your phone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you're here selling stuff?
You're here selling stuff? So I have a question for you. Do you know, is this city run?
Okay.
Or is this private?
I managed it for about 30 years.
Yeah.
I gave it up. It's city property.
Okay.
City oversaw,
right?
You know, but the farmers kind of manage and run it.
Right. So is this a free speech zone?
We're in the United States.
Well, but see, here's the thing. You can rent like an area for a day and it's yours, and you can tell people you can't be in there. So that's why I'm asking. If they're just using it in the city, then it's access.
You can. What I've always did when I was running it, and they shouldn't change it because that was basically the law.
Yeah.
You can talk to anyone about anything. You can't set up an established booth.
Right. Yeah, because,
as long as you're on the walk and stuff, yeah, it's free speech.
Sharing gospel is not commerce.
No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you get some flack sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing it for many years as well. But,
oh, yeah.
But as far as that goes, yeah, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah, because we're going to be witnessing at the festival.
Okay.
But I thought this would be a good warm-up to just come here and hold gospel signs. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might come stand right here. It's a good spot.
You stand or you walk around, you can do stuff, but once you, let's say, like Jehovah's Witness sometimes will bring a leaflet stand.
Right.
That's not allowed because that's kind of like a stall.
Like a what?
That's like a stall.
Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't set up a stall, but also, like I said, under the federal court rulings, free speech of your religion, of your faith, is not commerce. So, absolutely. Because people tell me you can't hand stuff out, and I go, that's absolutely not true because it's not business.
As long as it's in your hands and you're walking on
ground, oh, yeah.
You can do what you want.
Yeah.
If you set a spot up, you know, then you're taking a stall. That
Well, these people are all standing around. Nobody's saying nothing to them.
That's
so,
fine.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Good.
Cool. Yeah, so what do you? You got a little bit more time to talk. Last time you were in a big hurry. What do you guys do?
Stand somewhere where it's shady. Let's walk over this way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What do you do in your home fellowship? I mean, as far as do you guys gather regular or what
we're
do you do
odd ducks.
Do you have any teachings or anything or?
Yeah.
Here, come over here. You get out of the.
Well, I don't want to block this business.
No. Oh, okay.
You know,
we're fine. All right. We're only going to talk a minute.
I'm going to sit then. There we talk here. There we go. My health has gone bad, but.
You guys have any website or teachings or anything?
Well, it's hard to explain. We're Christians. We believe in God. We believe in Christ. We worship in the homes. We don't own, the church doesn't own real estate.
Yep.
We baptize by immersion.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Lord's Supper collectively on the first day of the week.
Right.
There is no female singing in our church.
No female singing?
No. We let the women keep silent in the churches.
Oh, okay. We definitely believe that women should be silent in the churches, but that definitely has not, I don't believe that has any correlation with singing. That definitely has to do with preaching, teaching, taking authority.
Well, that's kind of what
songs are. Yeah, but.
So what we do is we just.
That's, okay, we won't go into it here. That's taking away a person's right to just worship God. That's not.
Let me explain what we're doing. What we do, we get together, we follow the scripture where it says one has a psalm, one has a teaching, one has a home. We do that.
Not one guy in a box.
Yeah, there's no full-time preacher.
Yep.
And let the women keep silent. If they want to speak, let them ask their husband at home. Or it's a shame for a woman to speak.
We agree.
In the church.
Yep, we agree.
And the word speak is also used to say, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns. Psalm is a song.
Right.
So during the assembly, when we are breaking bread, when we're doing that, the women are silent.
Yep.
Later on during the day and stuff, women can sing all they want. We can do whatever we want. It's in that assembly.
Yep, I understand. So that's an interesting topic to look at. So this is the second time we met. I gave you a gospel card. Did you ever read it? Do you agree with the gospel? Can I preach the gospel to you real quick to see if we agree on this gospel?
Yep.
So we believe in Jesus Christ who came to show the way, fully man, fully God. He came to do three main things for us. He did many things. The Bible says it couldn't contain, the books can't contain what he did. But he did three main things. He showed us who God is and who the kingdom is, what the kingdom of God looks like. He came to shed his blood for the remission of sin.
Right.
And he came to rise again to defeat death. So that's the three main things that he came to do. So we teach people that by faith, you must place your faith in him, the Messiah. Now, most church systems stop there and go, believe in Jesus, you know, raise your hand, say a prayer, you're done.
Good religion. Yep.
Jesus' first ministry words, John the Baptist's ministry words were, repent. So we came out of the world. We weren't Anabaptist type people. She was a lifelong Lutheran. I was a lifelong worldly carnal man. She was worldly and carnal too, she'll tell people. But I came out of different Bible churches. We had to repent and come completely out of the world. So we had to change our fleshly ways. We had to change our cultural ways, how we dress, act, talk, look. how we spend our money, who we associate with, and we had to change our churchianity ways, because churchianity is built on a bunch of false traditions, like Christmas, Easter. Yeah, it's totally different. So by faith in this Messiah, you repent, you're born again. And then you must be born again by the Spirit of God. Right. When God sees a willing vessel, the Bible says in James, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. He doesn't draw near to anyone who says, I want to keep my sin. God says, sorry, can't help you. Acts 5 says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. He doesn't just cast the Holy Spirit out like seeds on the ground that'll be wasted. He's very diligent in who he gives it to. So by faith, repentance, you're born again. It keeps going. It doesn't end. The fruit that you're born again is not that you attend churchianity, not that you even attend a house church, not that you even say you just believe in Jesus. Jesus says we're a tree. He's the vine. We're the branches. The fruit that we're born of this Savior is our lives conformed to his word and ways for the New Testament and some pre-Torah things. We'll talk about that in a minute. And some pre-Torah things. Holiness and obedience is the fruit. We believe that once saved, always saved is a lie. We believe you can turn away. We believe you can fall into sin. And we also believe what God's what God's word says in Hebrews 10:26. If we willfully sin, there's no sacrifice for sin.
Unless you repent.
Unless you repent. Right. So if you knew I was a married man and you knew me and you knew I had a mistress on the side, you're going to come to me and say, brother, what are you doing? Right. And I go, yeah, it's sinful. And you go, wow, you must turn from that. And I go, yeah, you're right. I think it's wrong. But I'm keeping her and her.
Yeah, you can't live in sin.
But people do that all the time in this world. They say I can be a liar, I can be worldly, I can be carnal, I can be a pagan, and I can still have God. Right. Holiness and obedience is the fruit. The last part of the gospel, I think you and I agree, you have to endure.
The way I say it is like this here. When you become a child of God, he expects you to carry on the family tree.
Yeah, exactly. Your heart and mind change.
You're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
Even if you think you've repented everything, you did everything right, you're going to stumble along the way.
So yes.
It's not a once saved, no. If you sin again, you're done forever.
No. No, I don't teach sinless perfection. Right. But you are to strive to be perfect.
But you are to strive to be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm a little, probably a little more lenient in the sense that I don't believe it's my job to know the precise time to deal with that person's sin.
Actually, it is. Let me tell you why.
Let me explain what I'm saying. What I'm getting at is, sometimes in organized religion, we have what I call little policemen that run around. They like to dictate. You plead, you work, you teach, you try to get them, but they have to do the repentance. You can't force them into repentance anymore. You can force them to get a shot.
This is where I would kindly disagree. The modern churches don't do church discipline at all, the ones that I know of. They don't do anything. But in a house body or a biblical fellowship, you're only gathering and singing and praying with true saints that have a confession of baptism. So they are held to the standard of God. They're taught it. And if a woman is taught to cover her head, you guys teach head coverings for women?
While praying and prophesying.
Okay, well, we would believe differently, and I have articles
and
all that.
You're not going to the Amish way. We're all in prayer.
No, we're going the biblical way. You are always in prayer. If my wife wants to pray 20 times a day, she got to put it on, take it off.
Take it off.
I don't wear a hat.
Okay, see,
absolutely not.
Not even in the winter.
Oh, in the winter I would if it's a survival issue, but then I make sure I'm diligent, I take it off. See, that's the thing. So
really
we can't.
There's nothing in the scripture that says it's okay for a survival issue. It says, man.
But I take my hat off before I would pray.
We practice what you practice for yourself, but we don't mandate
The
women.
But the other problem you have is a woman's hair is her glory,
which is allowed to shine in.
No. No, it's supposed to be covered. Man is the glory of God. He's to be uncovered. Her hair is her glory. It's to be covered.
Where we differ is what we're saying is that's true.
And in the Old Testament, it was the same way. They had to have their heads covered.
What we were saying is true. When you're praying to God, only God's glory shines. Mm-hmm. When you're praising, when you're doing that, only God's glory shines.
Yeah.
But when you're on the toilet, or you're in the bedroom, or you're doing stuff.
No, see that now?
It says anyone who...
It's different. It's different.
While praying and prophesying.
It's different. It's different. It's actually not true. I have articles that go through all of that. So that's why I asked you if you have teachings.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you if you have teachings, because I'd like to test your teachings. I have articles on all that. If you go to don'tperish.com, they're in the Bible. Yeah. And I rightly divide them, though. See, we have to rightly divide because this world is corrupt. Let me go back to the gospel, pre-Torah things. You came up to me because you liked my outfit. You kind of wear a tunic kind of like garment.
I believe in God's children. It was God's intention that both men and women should be clothed to
the knee. So we should cover. I think a tunic, I like them about to the knee. I don't have a tape measure. I'm not a tape measure legalist. But we do keep some pre-Torah things. We take dominion of the earth, one man for one woman in marriage. We believe God dressed us, so we all should wear tunic-like garments, not shorts and things showing off our private parts. In Genesis 9, God said, don't eat blood. That's still in play today. Because in Acts 15, it's echoed. So I teach people, we don't, some people think we're Hebrew roots people. We're not. They're a cult. We teach some pre-Torah things. But I want to go back to the discipline. Where I disagree with you, lovingly, is when you say it's not your job. It actually is your job if you're a man, whether you're an overseer or whatever, because everybody in the body is supposed to be striving for the kingdom in holiness. And if women or men claim Christ and they claim to be born again, the Bible actually says in Matthew 18, in 1 Corinthians 5, in 2 Thess 3, that we are to judge and we are to test and we are to call out sin and hold them accountable. If we don't, your house body is going to look just as carnal eventually as the churchianity. True. So we have to go. If you're my brother and I see you in sin, I'm not going to put an ad in the newspaper. I'm going to go, brother, do you know this is sinful? Right. And you go, I don't know it's sinful. I show you in scripture and then you go, you're right. I repent. I won't do it no more.
Right.
If I don't come and call you out.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Don't have a problem with
but
that.
You said it's not your job. It is our job.
I've taken it this scenario. I come to you today because let's say that divorce and remarried thing. You're divorced and remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And I start to show you the scriptures. I don't expect you to say, oh, I get it in the next 5 seconds. In other words, you're going to argue with me. It's going to take time. I need to work on you to try to get you to do that.
I'm talking about people that are claiming Christ and have walked in the doctrines and you've taught it to them and they have no biblical answer back. They must be held to obey.
You know, when we had a situation in our church, and I still feel bad about it. I think I might have stepped over the line too much. My brother in the flesh was part of the church, but he had bought a whole bunch of videos from a video store, and he was allowing members of the church to do these. They were R-rated videos. Some were R-rated videos.
And the church people are watching them?
So he was allowing people to take them, and some of the weaker ones were, and stuff. And I said,
so they must still have TVs in their homes?
Most of them did not, but some might have had video players.
That's where you got to lower that hammer down.
But the thing was, I gave Alfred an ultimatum. I said, you either got to stop doing
this,
or you can't worship here anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's what I'm talking about, church discipline. But he doesn't get a grace period to keep sinning.
I understand that. But he does have a grace period to be taught.
How long does that take?
For some people, 75 years before you get
That's where I disagree. You know, 75 years? So, wait a minute.
No, what I'm
hold
saying
on.
Is, what
hold
I'm
on.
Saying is people don't come to the
hold
Lord
on.
All
hold
the
on.
Same time.
What's your first name?
Mine's Dan.
Daniel. I'm James. This is my wife, Debbie. So, wait a minute. Let's use this scenario. Husband and wife.
Right.
I got a mistress. You come to me and you go, you're not allowed in our fellowship. You got a mistress. And I go, show what you mean in Scripture,
Dan. What I would do is come to say, you have a mistress.
Right.
And it's wrong.
Right.
And then see what he has to say.
Right.
And if he continues on with the mistress, then we would
What if it takes me 75 years?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
You just said it could take 75 years. You would let me stay in the fellowship?
There are people that don't come to Christ until they're 75 years old.
But I'm talking about people that are in Christ, Dan.
The people that are in Christ are sinners, and they have the same.
Do you let unbelievers come that haven't committed to Christ in your body?
We do not have a closed service.
Oh, that's a big mistake.
But we don't have a lot of visitors.
That's a big mistake, though, because how can you pray and sing with people that aren't even born of God? That's outside.
We don't have congregational singing. One has a hymn, one has a teaching.
But I mean, how can you even unite? You should have Bible study. That's what the disciples would do.
We don't have Sunday school.
Not Sunday school. You should have Bible study for any seeker on a separate side. Follow,
but not part of the assembly.
Follow the New Testament model. They did not gather with people they did not know. Paul says if a stranger walks in, it was not a common thing for a stranger to walk in. Right. Everybody knew who was in the body.
If a stranger walks in,
you don't
kick him out like a tyrant.
You would try
to reach him.
So men would take him on the side, preach the gospel to him. We don't just treat them like they're one of the body.
You probably would change if you were going to give the lesson.
Switch to the gospel.
You'd switch a little bit different.
There you go.
You know, we don't have a problem with it. What we don't
want to
do.
I'll take one of those, honey.
We just don't want to create that. I call it the dominant denominational method, where, you know, it's like everybody's a tyrant and think they got all the answers for somebody else.
Well, no,
each
but see,
each person matures at a different stage, and you have to be a little.
But again, patient. That's where I disagree with you. I disagree with you here. I did not become a man of God where I am today on my own accord. It's God's word, God's spirit. I have no credit in it. How long did it take me? Within the first year of my wife and I struggling on our own with not one believer in our life, within the first year, I taught 95% doctrine of what I teach today 15 years later. There was a few things I had to modify.
So it didn't happen in the first minute or two.
No, but if I had you as a brother and you said, hey, Brother James, you're doing that, check that out. And I'd go, oh, thank you. Here you go. Wedding rings. For a little while, for a little while we wore wedding rings.
Yeah,
okay, I didn't know about it. As soon as somebody would have brought it to my attention, boom, they're gone. So it's not a matter of rebellion. It's a matter of when did you know about it, and when are you willing to obey?
And the thing is,
I think you allow sin in that way. And
well, it's
not
possible.
One
it's
verse,
possible.
Not one verse. Ready? Is one of the gifts of the Spirit long suffering?
We're supposed to.
Is that one of the gifts in Galatians 5? Long suffering.
Right.
It is.
I'm having a hard time with my cognitive abilities because of some health issues.
Oh, okay.
So unless I know for sure and it's
yep.
in my head.
So Galatians 5 says one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. So if you're my brother, I'm going to long-suffer with you through a lot of
right.
things. But the Bible never teaches us to be long-suffering in sin, whether it's in us, a wife, children,
right.
or the brothers. We go in, we lovingly teach it, we lovingly call them to repentance. And if they won't, we lovingly put them out till they repent.
Right. In Revelation to the seven churches of Ephesus, you know, in Asia, not Asia, I'm sorry, brain again.
Right.
What had happened is I made a mistake and I was talked by a doctor into getting a flu shot. Within 2 weeks, I had a bad reaction. They said it was just the flu.
Yeah.
And then they didn't listen to me and they gave me the same shot 2 years later. And I went blind, deaf in the wheelchair, and I got
all
the health issues. I don't, you know, so I'm not my normal self.
I understand.
But in the gospel, in the New Testament, in Revelation, we're talking to the seven churches. There was only one church that was perfect. All the other ones had major problems that their candlestick was going to be cold if they didn't repent.
That's exactly where I was going with you.
Okay.
If they don't repent, they're going to pull it. Jesus shows up and says, repent or I'm going to remove you.
He sent them a letter.
Paul says, well, it shows up in the spirit.
Right.
Paul says in 2 Thess 3, if people don't keep my epistle, put them out, don't even associate
right.
them, don't even eat with them.
Right.
We don't let leaven in the body, Dan.
I agree
okay.
with that.
That's all I'm
that.
Saying.
But
and
I'm just saying in the realm of the church,
you're going to have imperfect people,
but not willful sinners. They even had willful sinners in a church. And
where? Who
was?
What verse?
Who was Ananias and Sapphira?
Yeah, God killed them.
Yeah,
that's
but
you
there
should
was a
be.
Period of time.
You should be warning people about that.
And they do, but there's a period
but
of time.
But you're not warning them if you let them stay in their sin, Dan.
Yes. See, you're not.
And they had one sin. What was their one sin?
Well, it was greed, basically.
Lie.
Well,
so if your people tell one lie, you should be warning them that they need to repent, not giving them the Lord's Supper.
Don't have a problem, but
yeah,
where my problem comes in and where I've seen it in churches and I've seen it a lot of other places, we are dealing with children of God. We are dealing with infants in all of us, including you. You're just a baby.
Okay.
Okay.
But I obey my father.
That's true.
Which is the word. I don't throw fits and I am not a brat.
We all have bratness in us.
But we
got to
repent of that.
But sometimes we can get too assertive.
So you would let me come to your body, and if I kept sin, you'd let me stay?
Probably. I probably would be opposed to it and be not with it. But I'm also not the one only leader in a church.
Okay.
My point is.
Did you come out of Anabaptist?
Yes.
And that's where you got your.
No, not Anabaptist. I came out of the
Mennonites?
Restoration movement. Campbell.
Oh, Campbell, that's the Church of God, Church of Christ.
That would have been the Church of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't believe water baptism saves you?
I believe water baptism is necessary.
So a person can't...
I reword that a little bit because, again, we get into these politics and stuff.
A person can't go to heaven without being water dipped?
That's not my job. My job tell you...
Because coming from the Campbells, that's pretty important to know about you.
Not really, no.
Because they believe that.
Some do.
I preach them. Most of the Church of
some
Christ
they
believe
you've got to
be. That's a work for salvation.
My point is, if you're putting your trust in God, you will not be opposed to baptism.
Right.
Teach
it.
You will do it when you believe.
Yeah.
If you know that you're supposed to do it when you believe. You
there's
know,
two big issues that
the
I...
The question is Jesus Christ saves us. His blood does. But our obedience, just like you talk about
absolutely.
The obedience stuff, so baptism is a necessary part,
right.
usually as part of the conversion process.
Yeah.
If I find someone who has not been baptized,
yes, we want to
I will
baptize
definitely
us.
Want them to get
I agree
baptized.
That.
Just
but
like
it, is not, a sacrament. It does not save you. It's not efficacious.
Sacraments isn't in the Bible
it's,
anywhere.
It's not efficacious because I can prove it for two things. Ready? If water dipping saves you, ready? Jesus never saved anybody.
Well, go ahead and explain your statement.
He never baptized one person. All the disciples baptized, and
baptized.
The thief on the cross.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So, water baptism is part of. It's like wearing a tunic.
Yeah,
you should do it to obey, but a tunic doesn't save you.
No. In other words, that's what I'm saying.
Should do it to obey.
I do the best I can.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and
yeah.
I try not to get overly wiped out when I'm not figuring quite out everything. But when it comes to baptism, I would say if you're resisting baptism, I have a question about yourself.
I agree. But it's also wrong if we doctrinally teach it. It's efficacious and it saves you because it doesn't.
If you think that baptism, dipping in the water in and of itself, has some cleansing power, it does not.
Okay,
it
has no cleansing power whatsoever. So it's not efficacious, so you don't have to have it to be saved.
I don't go that far either. Yeah. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Right.
I believe that baptism is a part of most people's conversion.
I believe that too.
And therefore it is necessary as part of the act of conversion.
I just wanted
to... it's not a situation where
you don't have an option. You need to do it.
You should do it.
You do. Yeah.
And I try to get you to see
the reason I went after that, lovingly went after that, was because I know the Campbellites and I spiritually war because I hate their false doctrine. I love them. But I hate their false doctrine. The Bible says in Psalm 119:104, I hate every false way. Men of God, people of God need to hate false ways more. We're way too PC. We're way too politically correct. We're way too going along. The Bible nowhere teaches us to be long-suffering in sin, overlooking sin of God's people. The world, we go and preach the gospel and call them to it.
Right.
Then they're hell. We don't moralize the world.
To give you an example, I've got neighbors that are lesbians. They're not part of the church. They're in the world.
Yep.
I don't treat them different than I treat anybody else.
Right.
Any more than I would treat someone who's drunk.
We just share the gospel with them.
Or just something like that.
Warn them about their faith, share the gospel with them, and then live your life.
Oh, first of all, the sins that we commit.
That's my stuff.
Okay.
Is not what keeps us out of heaven. We finished it. The sins that we commit does not keep us out of heaven. What keeps us out of heaven is the fact that we're sinners. And we have sinned, singular, is all it takes to be no longer, in other words, a sinner that we've all come short of the glory of God.
Right, until in our past.
Until we come to Jesus Christ.
Now we change.
Until we come to Jesus Christ. The sins don't mean nothing other than to try to get them to see Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the world is going to be damned because of their unbelief and sin. Right. Believers are going to be damned if they live in willful sin.
Right.
So sin does separate you from God.
Sin separates you from God, but not... it's not a sin here, sin there, sin there. Sin, period.
You know what separates it is? Can I give you a good analogy? I love this analogy. When I came to Christ, my wife and I... picture in my arm bags full of sins, worldliness, carnality, fornication, adultery, you may name it. Other than drugs and homosexuality, I did it all, okay? I come to Christ, ready? Here's what you need to do to be saved, ready? I don't like the word saved. Here's what you need to be on the road to salvation. You throw it all at Christ's feet and say, Lord, cleanse me of all that. Make me new, make me a creation, right? That's the heart of a true believer.
And in the next 40 years, he's going to be showing you you didn't let everything go
yet. Hold on. Now, though, I go like this. Except for these three, I think I'm going to keep these for a while.
That's true.
Those are on you.
Yeah.
Now, I am going to make mistakes, fall into sin, be tempted, lose the battle, but I have to repent and keep laying it.
That's why
we can't let any willful sin go on.
And where I get to the point is that effort you're talking about doesn't save you either.
It's part of your salvation.
Just like baptism is.
Works as part of your salvation.
Just like baptism is.
I would agree. But that's
the point I'm trying to get.
But that
to get
one doctrine, if I witness to somebody and they repent and they're born again, they walk across the street and get run over by a car and they didn't get baptized, they go to heaven.
I had a preacher.
Right?
They go
to heaven.
I'm going to answer differently. I had a preacher that came to me.
So you do hold, you think water is efficacious.
No, I don't run into those what-ifs all the time because there are what-ifs. But
the thief on the cross.
Yeah. The thief on the cross, far as people, I don't think that even matters. Because he died on the cross.
Right.
It was before Jesus died and rose again.
They were still baptizing people.
They were. So it was a Jewish tradition. We don't know how many times he was baptized or wasn't baptized.
Right.
We're assuming he wasn't baptized.
Who? The thief on the cross? Yeah. Well, you have to be baptized after you come to faith. he clearly came to faith on the cross. He repented.
Under,
he was born again.
Under the Jewish Torah law, there were hundreds of baptisms.
Yeah, mikvahs. They had them all over.
Yeah. If you read the book, there's a book there called the mikvah.
Yeah. But he wasn't baptized in Christ, Dan.
Yeah, I don't
That's
know.
Different.
I don't know.
That's totally different.
All I know is on the cross.
You know why? Because Peter and all them might have been baptized that way. They all had to be baptized in Christ. So that's not a good argument.
And most of them said, John the Baptist baptized you for this. But I say, baptized into Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There's a difference. But we're at a transitional period. So, where he's still fulfilling his promised on the cross.
But Cornelius had the Holy Spirit before he was ever baptized.
I understand.
So
I understand
it's not required.
But the gospel hadn't also went out to the whole world yet either. Yep. There's a transitional period that I don't understand
the
where it
fruit all is. That you're born of God is you want to obey. I agree with you. Right. And anybody should be water baptized. And I teach water baptism. My point was it's not efficacious like the Lord's Supper is not efficacious. You should do it, but it has no saving power.
You
should do it. It has no saving power. A tunic, you should wear when it has no saving power. Not talking like a sailor, you should not do it. It has no saving power. Right. See what I'm saying?
And that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying there's a human flaw, a human characteristic of humans.
Yeah.
Where we want to be bosses.
Right.
We like to run everybody else's life. We can't even run our own.
Right. So we got to be holy, godly, biblical. What is it called? What's a Titus 1 elder?
I caution people. You do what you know the Bible teaches. You try to tell others what you believe the Bible teaches. But don't get so conceited that you think you stand and fall.
No, the problem is, though. The problem is, though, the standard is God's word. Titus 1 says to be elders and leaders, you teach everyone to obey, those that are naysayers to convince, be holy. Right. And if we don't call people that claim Christ out of their sin, we don't love them.
And the Bible says, many of you teachers, for a stricter judgment.
So here's...
My concern is that stricter judgment, what it entails, sometimes the teachers don't look inward and look at the flaws within them.
So...
And
I agree with you.
To deal with the world.
I agree with you 100%. So here's where I'm going to leave you, because I'm going to go get my signs and preach. Here's where I'm going to leave you. You got my gospel card. My website has thousands of articles on it. Here's my challenge to you, so that maybe things I've said to you will take root. You can look at my life. You can look at my ministry. You can look at my teachings. And anything you find that is inappropriate, I'm willing to take a conference call from you and your men to teach me what I have wrong in Scripture. I know I'm a street preacher. I talk. I will listen quietly on the phone. My wife and I and a brother will take notes, and then we'll address and give an answer. So I agree with you to be a teacher, but you got to be willing to be tested. I'm willing to be tested to God's word.
That's why I wanted to test you.
You guys don't have a website or anything?
No, we don't.
How do you portray truth to people? Do you have a gospel card? Track you give out?
No, don't do that anymore. I used to. I used to have a radio station. They did
I'll tell you what. I've enjoyed this conversation.
What we do now is we talk to people. Just like
That's great. I would love to hear from you sometime and test those things. Let me just tell you this. Divorce and remarriage, that would be a good topic for you to look up. We've been over that extensively, and we didn't come out of the Anabaptists, and we've got lots of articles on that. I'd encourage you to read that and test yourself on that.
Sure.
God be praised.
If my cognizance is going wrong,